Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Grateful, thankful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through the Word of God. And as always, it is a great Word. God's Word is true. It's true from Genesis to Revelation. All we have to do is believe. And the Word that God gave me for this morning is coming out of Psalms 46 and 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The Lord is with us in good times. The Lord is with us in bad times. The Lord is with us in our coming in and our going out. He is with us when we are going up, and he is with us when we are coming down. God is with us always, and he is always there to catch you when you fall. Just want to thank God for waking me up this morning, clothed in my right mind, because somebody didn't wake up today. So thank God that you are here listening in, whether you're listening in live or listening in later. Thank God that you are alive to listen in, because somebody didn't make it this morning. Somebody didn't make it this morning. You know, you wake up and the news is always there. And it's always, these days, negative. I would like to just turn on a news channel, and everything that they're speaking of news for the day is good news. Wouldn't that be pretty awesome? I think it would change the trajectory of how this world is going, is if you turn on the news, you know, no Republican and Democrat, no this and that, no brutality. Nobody's child dying by friend or foe. But good news. We had a great day today. The sun is out. People are happy. Life is good. We're going to give good news today. It would be awesome. And so that's what this word is today. Good news. We're going to give the word of God. But unfortunately, a lot of the word is not always good. You know, God's word is reality. And if we look at the word of God as reality, it changes how we perceive everything. God does not tell you like it is, and like it is what it's going to be. And when we get into our Luke word this morning, you'll understand where I'm coming from. You know, the word of God tells us that everyone who much is given from him, much will be required. You know, so many folks want to be like, you know, and I'm just glitching, you know, Beyonce and Jay-Z and the Kardashians and Kanye's and all these people. And Oprah and Tyler Perry, and, you know, they want to be, you know, on the other side, you know, your your Clint Blacks and your Dolly Partons, and, you know, I'm a country girl, so that's why those people's names came out of my mouth. I like country music, so, you know, hey, it is what it is. I grew up in Kentucky, and that's what I listened to. I knew Dolly before anybody else knew Dolly because I used to watch Porter Wagner show. Yes, I did. I have no shame in my game. I like country music. Same of people and stuff that we forget God. But understand, for all those people that have all those all that money and all that stuff, that much is required of them. For when much is given, much is required. The more you have, you better understand, the more you have to give to God. Your time, your talent, your tenth always belong to God. My talent is I talk. Part is I am a very introverted person. I talk behind a mic. I don't like to be in front of cameras, and I would prefer not to be the one doing the stuff in the limelight. I like being in the background. But I always laugh. I say, God, why do you keep pushing me out there? Because when you have work to do for God, you do it. And it doesn't matter if you would prefer to have a book and mind your own business and not even worry about what's going on in the world, because God says, no, your time is now. And so you're going to talk because that's the gift I gave you. You're going to read because that's a gift I gave you. You're going to speak the word because that's a gift I gave you. And eventually you're going to get out of the fright and write the book that I'm giving you. You know, we got to quit walking in fear. Excuse me. And walk in faith. I admit, I can sometimes be extremely fearful. You know, Lord, what? And God says, have I not always been with you? And then he'll send me back to Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9 to read. And then I'm like, okay, God, forgive me. Because we have to be strong and courageous. Because we don't have time to be weak in this season. Because the enemy is going to come at you in every kind of way, through friends, through family, through your jobs, through social media, which is, I still say it's the trick of the devil, even though I use it myself. But the fact of the matter is, it can be horrific, because there are so many people that sit behind a desk, sit behind a phone, an iPad. And you hate to know that God is always there with us. Let him spew hate. God has already put a shield of protection around you from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. As long as you believe, he covers you. He covers your family. Did Rahab, was she afraid? She dropped that red cord like it wasn't nobody's business and told her family, you better be in my house, because if you're not there, you're going to die. Serious. Come on over. You know, we having a fish fry. Lock the doors. Nobody's coming in but family. That's what I was told to do. And what happened? Her and her family were saved because they were in her house. And they were covered in her house. Why? Because she did what she had to do for her family, and she did it unto God. She helped his family, his children, and he helped her family and her mother and father, her relatives, her brothers and her sisters, because they came into the house. We got to go into the house where there's love, where there's peace, where there's joy, where there's family. And watch God work, not only in your life, but in your family's life too. Father God in heaven, we thank you for being with us in all times, in all seasons. For you are God and we are your children. And we ask you, Lord God, to cover us today and every day. Lord God, watch over our children as they go back to school. Watch over our children as they just walk from place to place. Cover our babies, oh God. And those that want to pick up guns, Lord God, steal their hands. Protect our children from the wiles of the enemy, Lord God. Put shields of protection around our children. For they are the future, Lord God. And Father God, I ask you to lift up those that have chosen to be in law enforcement. Lord God, may they be officers that have integrity, officers that have pride in their jobs, officers that will stand up to wickedness, that will show the light of God in them, that they will no longer allow the dark, allow the dishonest, allow the angry and vicious and violent to be in their ranks, that they will power and say that is wrong. And no, put your gun back in your holster. We're not shooting anybody today. Lord, I thank you for the men that you gave me for 32 years as a husband, as a father to my children, and as a policeman, as a trooper, as a sergeant, as a military lieutenant colonel who chose integrity over everything else, who chose to be a man of, even when he was vilified, even when he was treated horribly, he still stood up for right. And I thank you, Lord, that he was an example to his children. And I pray, Lord God, that there are other officers out there that are like him that will not stand for the wrong of things, even to their own health, even to their own detriment. They will still stand because you are holding them up. Father, I pray for the police departments all over this world that have been hurt, that have no trust and those that are supposed to serve and protect. I pray for our nations, oh God, not just America, but the nations of this world, because what's happening here is happening everywhere. Father God, I pray for light to shine on darkness, and that you will always be with us through good, through bad, through thick, through thin, through our ups and through our downs. Father God, help plan it and help the people in it to love you and love each other. As the greatest and second commandment says, to love you with every part of our being, our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, and to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Lord, help us to love ourselves. And Father God, I ask you to increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For Lord, you are my strength and you are my redeemer. I cannot do this without you. And I ask you, Father God, speak through me. In Jesus' holy and amen. Thank you, Father, for your word today. Let's get started in the word this morning. And it is, as always, a great word. We're still dividing up land. As I said, Joshua is an inheritance book. It's a dividing up the land book. It's a all about God book. And I love this book I had, Joshua in 10 words or less, the Israelites capture and settle the promised land of Canaan. And that's it. Israelites captured and settled the promised land of Canaan. Joshua in 10 words or less. So let's look at the capturing and the settling of the land of Canaan and the dividing of the inheritance of the children of Israel. We are in chapter 19 of the book of Joshua, and it says, the second lot came out for Simeon, For the tribe of the children of Simeon, according to their families and their inheritance, was within the inheritance of the children of Judah. They had in their inheritance Beersheba, Sheba, Molada, Hazar, Shul, Bela, Ezim, Eltol, Lad, Bethul, Harmon, Ziklag, Beth, Mekavot, Hazar, Susan, Beth, Labatha, Shura, and 13 cities in their villages, and in Ramon, Ether, and Ashen. 4 cities in their villages, all the villages that were all around these cities as far as Bethlehem, Beer, Ramah, in the south. This was the inheritance of the tribe of the children of the Simeons, according to their families. The inheritance of the children of Simeon was included in the share of the children of Judah, for the share of the children of Judah was too much for them. Therefore, the children of Simeon had their inheritance within the inheritance of that people. The third lot came out for the children of Zebulun, according to their families, and the border of their inheritance was as far as Sherid. Their border went toward the west and to Merahlah, went to Debeshah, and extended along the booth. Then Sherid went eastward toward the sunrise along the border of Cheslot Tabor and went out toward Deborah, bypassing Jepha. And from there on, it passed along on the east at Gath Hefer toward the Ethan Kazin and extended to Ramon, which borders at Nea. Then the border went around it on the north side at Hananan and ended in the valley of Jotbanet El, extended where Kephet, Nehali, Sharon, Adalah, and Bethlehem, 12 cities with their villages. This was the inheritance of the children of Zebulun, according to their families, these cities with their villages. The fourth lot came to Issachar. Children of Issachar, according to their families, and their territory went from Jerel and included Shelah, Shunan, Hepharim, Shion, Anaharas, Rabbith, Kishon, Ebed, Remeth, in Genon, in Haddon, and Beth Pezeh, Pazi. And the border reached to Tabith, Sheminah, and Beth Shemesh, and their borders ended at the Jordan. And if you're stopping and looking at a map today, some of these cities and towns still have the same name up into this day, but the tribes are not there. Maybe some of their descendants are, but as you continue, you know, you hear certain names and you're like, wait a minute, I heard that before. And then you look at a map and it's there. And we're going to drop down to verse 32. And it goes on to say, the sixth lot came out to the children of Naphtali, for the children of Naphtali, according to their families, and their borders began at Helaphon and excluded the territory from the Terebinth tree to Zenonim, Adama, Neket, and Demnel, as far as Lachem, and ended at the Jordan. And a lot of things, as you notice, as we go through these cities, end at the Jordan. You know, and as we go through, there's many, many more, and I'm not going to go through all the territories because we really do need to get to the word that we need for today. But I do want to, you know, just throw out some cities. You know, you got Joppa, which we hear all the time, you know, and that is one of the cities of the children of Dan. You know, and as, you know, we hear Leshem, again, a city of Dan. And when, you know, it says that when we had made an end of dividing the land as an inheritance according to their borders, and the children of Israel gave an inheritance among them to Joshua, the son of Nun, according to the word of the Lord, they gave him the city which he asked for, Timnath, Serah, in the mountains of Ephraim, and he built the city and dwelt in it. These were the inheritance which Elijah the priest of Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel divided as an inheritance by lot in Shiloh before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So they made an end of dividing the country. So the whole entire land of Canaan was divided among the 12 children of Jacob. The Levites did not have land. Instead, the two sons of Joseph had land. So we have to understand that everything has a purpose and a reason. And the Lord God divided equally among these people by how many people were a part of their family. But each of these cities, some of these cities are there in Canaan today. And you want to say, I would love to go and say, are you from the tribe of Dan? Are you from the tribe of Issachar? Are you from the half tribe of Manasseh? Because I'm on the opposite side of the Jordan, going on in the Middle East. But when you go back to the word of God, you understand why. You understand why. It is so much turmoil. It's because this one has forgotten. They people have forgotten who they are. People don't know who they are. You don't know if you are a descendant and what tribe you're from and who your father was, who your grandfather was, because of so many things that have gone on. As you very well know, Israel has been through hell and back. And I'm not talking Israel, current Israel. I'm talking Israel as a whole. The children of Israel went through hell and back. They have been enslaved. They were enslaved, released, enslaved again because of Babylon and so many, And then they came back and rebuilt. And then we go through all these other things. Let's not forget the Crusades and the Romans, and so much has gone on in the Middle East. In this region of the Holy Land, that we are up and down and all over the place. And that's why the word of God is so important, that we get to know who we are. We understand we are Gentiles and we have been grafted in because of Jesus. But understand, some that think they're Gentiles grafted in may in fact be a descendant of one of the tribes. We don't know. Because when you don't know who your history, you don't know who you belong to. You don't know where you belong. Because you're so broken. Hallelujah. Chapter 20 of the book of Joshua. The Lord also spoke to Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint for yourselves cities of refuge, of which I spoke to you through Moses, that the slayer who kills a person accidentally, can I say that again, accidentally or unintentionally may flee there, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he flees to one of these cities, to one of those cities, and stands at the entrance of the gate of the city and declares his case in the hearing of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city as one of them and give him a place that he may dwell among them. Then if the avenger of blood pursues him, they shall not deliver the slayer into his hands because he struck his neighbor unintentionally but did not hate him beforehand. And he shall dwell in that city until he stands before the congregation for judgment and until the death of the one who is high priest in those days. Then the slayer may return and come to his own city and his own house, to the city from which he fled. So they appointed Kadesh in Galilee in the mountains of Naphtali, Shechem in the mountains of Ephraim, Kiriath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountains of Judah, and on the other side of the Jordan by Jericho, eastward, They assigned Bezer in the wilderness on the plains from the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead from the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan from the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger who dwells among them, that whoever kills a person accidentally may flee there and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. And our word for this morning is musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah, a song for Alamoth. Understand, the book of Psalms is magnificent. And if you are a psalmist, God has given you a special gift, a gift that nobody can replace and nobody can take. And this is a word, Psalms in 10 words or less, ancient Jewish songbook showcases prayers, praise, and complaints to God. That sums it up. And it was written by various, nearly half King David. Other names noted include Solomon, Moses, Asaph, Ethan, and the sons of Korah. And the one that we're about to read is from the sons of Korah. Many psalms don't mention an author. You know, since approximately 1400 B.C., Moses' time, through 500 B.C., the time of Jewish Babylonian exile. Those are the times that this book was written by many, many authors. But it's a songbook. It's a songbook. It's a book of prayers, praise, complaints. You know, and it's magnificent. That's all I can say. You know, and a quotable is, O Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. So let's get into our word this morning, and it says this, and this is the title of our message and our show today, is God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And we as a nation are going through trouble. There's turmoil. There's turmoil. And if we break it down, the enemy is a divider. And if I'm hating you because you don't look like me, or I'm hating all policemen because a few of the worst decided to pull their gun and kill someone, I'm hating all. No, that is not of God. And I'm speaking this as a widow of a state policeman who dedicated his life to teaching, being an instructor, to having integrity. And guess what? He didn't have to pull his gun very often, and he never shot anyone. In all his 20-whatever years of working, he never shot anyone. Even when he apprehended escaped convicts, he never shot anyone. Understand choice that you make when you pull your weapon. And yes, I'm just going to say it. Many believe I'd rather be judged by 12 than carried by 8. And that's the sad thing. They'd rather kill than die. Because that's what they're taught to do. They're not taught to wound, they're taught to kill. But understand, there is a lot of prejudice. There is a lot of racism. And I believe I've mentioned it before. First weeks on the job, the gun range, my husband found the Ku Klux Klan application. He carried it in his wallet, in his badge case, the whole time, through his entire career, as a reminder. that everybody that is wearing the badge does not have integrity. It's not there for service and has really no pride in what they do because their allegiance to the Klan is more important than their allegiance to the public. So we pray for our police officers. We pray for the people that carry those shields because it's a heavy burden. Every day when we leave this block, we pray the Mizpah prayer. That is the prayer I pray every night with my husband through his entire career. He wore half, I wore half of it on as a reminder that the Lord is watching between us while we're out to run from each other. Pray, family. Husbands, pray with your wives. Wives, pray with your husbands. Mothers and fathers, pray with your children. Prayer changes things. And understand, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though they be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling, Selah, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Dr. Charles Stanley says, on some days, we may feel as if our world has been shaken and things we depend upon has been cast into the sea. But if we put our hope in God, we have no need to fear because he is truly the refuge that can never be moved. In fact, sometimes God will allow all of our earthly security to fail us so that we will learn to depend upon him better. Father God, we depend on you, and we trust in your word. Hallelujah. We trust in your word. Proverbs chapter 15, verses 7 through 11. Go from the presence of a foolish man. When you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. That's a word. I'm going to read it again because there's so many folks following after the foolish. They have no knowledge. Let's do it again. Let's read verse 7 one more time. Go from the presence of a, and I'm adding, woman. When you do not perceive in him, and I'm going to say her, the lift of knowledge, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Folks believing in lies instead of the truth. The truth is staring you right in the face, but you're going to believe a lie. That is, you know, in your heart of hearts, is not the truth. You have drunk the Kool-Aid. And there are so many false prophets out there now. You know, every time I think about false prophets and liars, and I'm going to call it out, liars, proper liars. They out there profit from lies. That's what they are, proper liars, because their goal is to profit from you as they lie to you. Proper liars, profiting from lies. That's why we do this show. That's why we read the word so you get it yourself in context, because we're reading the whole thing, not a scripture, but the whole thing in context. And it goes on to tell us, fools mock at sin, but among the upright there is favor. The heart knows its own bitterness, and a stranger does not share its joy. The house of the wicked will be overthrown, but the tent of the upright will flourish. Understand, God has got you. God has got you covered, pastors. God has got you covered, deacons and elders and apostles, prophets. God has got his covered. But I'm going to tell all the liars out there, all the cheaters out there, all the ones out there guising it up like they love God. God is going to show you for who you are because he knows your heart. And I'm not saying, because we all fall short of God's glory. We all make mistakes. We all may say some things that we regret. I'm not talking to y'all. I'm talking to the ones that know good and well. They don't know God, don't even like God, but they know they can make some money off of gullible people who do and search for more of him. Been there, gullible for the lies. Gave lots of money to wrong teachers and preachers. Just saying it like it is. But then God took the blinders off. I once was blind, but now I see. And when you ask for discernment, be ready. Because when you start getting discernment, believe me, your eyes will be open and you'll be like, oh, Lord, I didn't want to see that. But God is giving more and more of his people discernment. So when you walk in a church and you see the darkness on the walls and you see the spirits that are in it, you turn around and run. Run. Because folks love to be elevated. They love to go to that church where everybody's going to, you know, gush and, you know, oh, you're so this and that. But if God is not in it, you need to get out of it. We got to go where God is. When you're listening to music, listen to the words. My husband, God love him and rest his soul, was a psalmist. But nobody will hear because he's no longer here. Understand, God wants us to be better. But do not walk into darkness. All those people I think about and I pray for their souls that followed a false teacher into the jungle and died because they were forced Kool-Aid, as we call it. They were forced. And some voluntarily lost their life because of a false teacher. We have to understand. Everybody that says, Lord, Lord, may not know him. He's already said there's going to be folks that are going to say, I saved, I did all of these things. Say, I don't know you. I don't want to be a not known by God. I don't want to be a not known by Jesus. I want my name in the book. We got to do what's right. And we go into Luke chapter 12, verses 35 to 59. It says, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if he would come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so blessed are those servants. But now this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself to do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. For everyone, here's that word, to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, to him they will ask for more. I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and have distress. I am till it is accomplished. Do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all. The division from now on, five in one house will be divided. Five in one house will be divided. Three against two and two against three. Father will be divided against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Then he also said to the multitudes, whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately you say a shower is coming. And so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say there will be hot weather. And there it is. Hypocrite, you can discern the face of the sky and the earth, but how is it you do not discern this sign? Yes, and why even of yourselves do you not judge what is right? When you go with your adversary magistrate, make every effort along the way to settle with him, lest he drag you to the judge and judge deliver you to the officer and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you shall not depart from there till you have paid the very last mite. Jesus is telling us in his word, it is not going to be easy. And this is what a couple of life lessons. I have one from Proverbs and two from Luke. Luke chapter 12, verse 37. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. He will come and serve them. Servants serve and master the way it works in this world. But Jesus says that he, the master, will serve his faithful, prepared servants when he returns to settle account. Understand, it's going to be a settling of accounts. Is your account ready to be viewed? Are your accounts ready to be viewed? Have you done what you say you're going to do for God? This word is true. God is speaking to us today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. As they say, these are the red letter words in the Bible. And as we go to Luke chapter 12, verse 48, everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. God does not give us on ourselves. He gives them to us so that we might use them to expand his kingdom and to meet the needs of others, especially fellow believers. We got to help others. We can't hold what we got. Oh, no, I'm not going to give. You got to give. You give to those that are in need. But understand, I did not understand this. I had to start studying the word and meditating that there are those that have spirits of usury. You got to be careful as a believer of users, of those that will come in the cheap clothing, always with a handout, never a handout to give, but a handout to receive, will not pay their bills, will not do what they're supposed to do, but will always come to you when they need. Don't have pay what they owe, but always want to be standing in somebody's pulpit. Users, using the gospel to enrich themselves, but never helping anybody else. God knows who they are. He knows them by name and understands they will be held accountable. There are those that seek titles. I want to be a pastor. I want to be a prophet. I want to be a this. I want to be a that. You already know your calling. You know if you're a pastor. It's who you are. You know you are an apostle. It's who you are. You know you are a pastor minister. That's who you are. It's in your heart. It's in your spirit. You have been preparing for it all of your life. I've been preparing for this all of my life. Since I was a little girl, sitting on a porch, crying to go to church. I knew that was where I had to be. And we'll walk up into the pulpit. Didn't know why. I just knew I was there where I was supposed to be. Went to and trained as a teenager ministry with the Salvation Army. And I will tell you this. I know there are those that don't like what some have done in the ministry. But the Salvation Army is one of my foundations. And I will always give kudos to the Corps Cadets, to the Girl Guards, and to the leaders of those ministries with Salvation Army. Girl Guards, oof, thank you, Sister Ruth. Thank you, Captain Delaney. I thank God for those people that poured into my life. Thank you, Camp. I was a camp counselor for the Salvation Army, a Corps Cadet, where I learned ministry as a teenager, where I learned the Word of God and had to test like I was in school for theology. But I had to study to show myself approved. Got saved at a Salvation Army conference where I got called at 17 years old, that I knew I was going to preach even then. But I ran like I was like a woof. Knew I was supposed to go to seminary, but I didn't. When I graduated, said I did my own thing. But God is calling us. I had a great career. Yes, I'm retired. But I still work in ministry with seniors because that's where God called me. And I love it. I love working with seniors. And I love working with children. And I love working with women's ministry, which is my calling. And I love what I do with you guys here moving forward. I'm going to work until my day is done. Because I don't work for anybody but God. And I get emotional because the Holy Spirit just hits my spirit. And all I want to do is say, thank you, Lord. I will not tell anybody that a calling that you have, whether you're a psalmist, whatever you do, it is not going to be easy. It was not easy for the disciples. It will not be easy for you. Folks that chase after these titles and chase after wanting to do this and want to do that. But if you don't have a heart for God and you don't want to do right in your personal life, how are you going to start trying to do right for God in your ministry? God is watching everything we do. Why are you asking for this calling? Because I tell you this, I didn't ask for it. I didn't chase it. It's just who I am. From the time I was 4 years old, I knew that the house of God was where I was supposed to be. I knew that whatever I did for God was the most important thing I had to do. And I thank God so much for my mother. I thank God so much for the parents that she gave me. And for my great, great aunt and uncle who raised me to be a woman of God with integrity, with a love to do the will of God. We got to thank those that pour into us. Don't ever get it twisted. You don't know anybody's story. All you see is the outside. God loves us, and he wants the best for us. And this is a word that Dr. Stanley had, and it's a life question. How can I deal with the anger or bitterness of another? The unfortunate fact is sooner or later, all of us will run into someone who feels angry or bitter toward us. What should you do when you find yourself the object of another's bitterness? How should you respond to someone's red-hot anger aimed straight at you? Responding to bitterness with more bitterness leads only to a combative and even explosive situation. So what should you do? First, tell yourself the truth about the situation. What happened? How did the situation unfold? Are you really at fault? It may be that you can't entirely reconstruct the event in question, but try your best to honestly recall what led to the outburst. Second, listen carefully to what the bitter person is saying. Bitterness and anger are usually the offshoot of deep hurt. Say something like, it seems that you are really upset. Can we talk about it? Even such a simple question may help to diffuse the situation. And even if it doesn't, you may not be able to turn the bitterness around in someone else's life. You can't stop it from taking root in your own heart by asking God to help you understand why this person feels the way he or she does. Third, anytime you come under personal attack, it is very important to recall God's personal love for you. You may not have made mistakes, but that does not change the Lord's feelings about you. You may have made mistakes. We all make mistakes. We all fall short. But understand this, feelings about you. Ask him to encourage you through his word. Fourth, ask God to help you respond with his love and grace and to protect you from angry attacks. In Psalm 64, we read how one man prayed for God's deliverance from the attacks of an embittered enemy. Bitterness is a much deeper and more complex reaction than a simple expression of quick anger. It is a satanic stronghold and needs to be faced in an honest manner. God tells us to beware lest any root of bitterness spring up, causes trouble, and by this many become defiled. Hebrews 12 and 15. Be careful. Don't let your heart be bitter. When you find yourself the target of a bitter accusation or a hateful personal attack, pray for God's protection. Ask him to give you wisdom in dealing with the other person, as well as healthy perspective on the entire matter. Your reaction to the assault is the most important issue with God. Therefore, be firm but loving in what you do and say. And that is our word for this morning. Thank you so much for listening in. I have a word for my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. If there's anyone that has a word that would like to speak, the number to dial is 213-943-3597. That is our dial-in number for anyone that would like to dial in. We are here Sunday through Friday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. 213-943-3597 is our dial-up number that you can listen in live. Otherwise, it is Blog Talk Radio. Moving Forward with Minister Bridget is our number. And there are many, many shows out there. And if you're just wanting to hear words, it's out there on Blog Talk Radio. Before we wrap it up this morning, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. You can get in. And it says this: God will take what the enemy meant for bad and make it for your good. Can we all say amen? All up in the lesson again this morning. Have a thankful Thursday. Remember, family, don't let anybody take you out of your square. Keep walking with God and stay in the light of his loving arms, and all will work for your good. Thank you so much. Be blessed. And as always, as we say every time we're together, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other in the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus. I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day. As Sister Carolyn says, have a thankful Thursday, knowing that our Father God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Thank you so much for listening in. Have a blessed day, and somebody a hug and just say, I love you. Thank you. So I'm sending out all those love and hugs from across the miles and across the water. Thank you all for listening in. Be blessed, family. It is, as we say on Moving Forward, it's a wrap. Be blessed.